When you see the toothpick come out, turn your minds on, open up your hearts. Let's open up the Word of God. Let's rightly divide it. Why? So we can actually apply it to our lives. Today is 10/16/2022. I'm starting out good. I got the year right, the date right. And as you know, I've been teaching through the book of Ephesians. We're in Ephesians chapter 3. We're going to go over verses 8 through 11. And this will probably be, if everything works out and we find the apartment, I'm supposed to start at, in Bowler as pastor next week. We got to come back, but because you know about Mary, right? She has a breast cancer in her duct. But it looks pretty good, like they caught it early. The surgeon doesn't even think she'll need surgery. But so we got to come back on the 27th. And we'll be coming back every 3 months. I already got that clear with the elders. So if the pastor needs somebody to cover for him or a Sunday school teacher, I'll be available. And we're going to come here on that Sunday. As an official Sunday school teacher and assistant pastor, this will probably be the last time, unless we don't find an apartment, then it's stuck with me for, and it's been, I've been assistant pastor, I think, for 13, 14 years. When Dave went to be with the Lord, I stepped up and told the pastor if he wanted me to do the Sunday school class. So this church has been a real blessing to me and Mary and my family, and it's been an honor to that God would use me to build you up and edify you. And I just appreciate the love in this church. You'll always be our church family. So with that said, this ain't about me, it's about Christ, right? Let's open up in prayer and we'll get right to the Word. And the name of my message is Understanding the Sacred Secret. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for another bright autumn day. The leaves changing and it's another day of grace. And so I pray your Holy Spirit would just illumine every mind to grasp these truths of the depths, the height, the depth, the width, and the length of the mystery, so we can understand the depths of your grace and the height and depth and width and length of your infinite love. And so I pray your Holy Spirit would use me, Christ would express himself through me, express your truth, and that everything done here, Father. And we also pray for the pastor later, as he, our, the one who's filling in for the pastor, as he preaches your word, that you would do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So let's turn to Ephesians 3, 8 through 11. Keep Mary in prayer. She's got a little cold today, so God best, not to come. And also with the coming surgery. So let's read first Ephesians 3, verses 8-11. Again, who's speaking or writing? The Apostle Paul. Who's he writing to? The saints. So this is to the body of Christ. Unto me, Paul, who am less than the least of all the saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. It's unsearchable in time past. You won't find it from Matthew all the way through to Malachi or in John through Matthew, early Acts. You won't find it until Paul gets saved in Acts chapter 9. And then Christ dispenses it to him. The unsearchable riches of Christ. Hallelujah. We're blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ, right? And to make all men see what is the fellowship or as I always say, this can be translated dispensation of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world, since God created the heavens and the earth, has been hidden, God. So it's hidden the heart and mind of God who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now, you see there's been a change, right? When you see but now, unto the prince and powers and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church, listen to this, the manifold wisdom of God. I think of that manifold, mana, many, and then layers of wisdom. You know, I think it came to my mind, and then I'll read the next verse in a sec, where Paul told, I think it was Timothy, to bring the books, the scrolls. You know, they must have been important to Paul. And so in this mystery is, there's all this truth. That's why Paul says that we might know the height, the depth, the width, and the length of it. It's so important. And so, because that shows the manifold wisdom of God. And you're only going to find that, the completeness of that in Paul's epistles. And according to the eternal purpose, which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Don't we want to know the eternal purpose of God? You know, most people, your average Christian wants to know, oh God, what's your will today? Should I eat steak or should I eat grits? Should I move to California? You know, should I date this one? You know, you want to know God's will. You study God's word. You rightly divide it, right? Why? So you can apply it to the details of your life. And, you know, people say, is it your will, Father, for me to marry this one or that one? Well, study Paul's epistles, and then outside of Paul's epistles too, because there's wisdom all through God's word, right? Paul said all the scriptures are profitable, right? But you're not going to get the profit that God designed them to be if you don't rightly divide it, because he tells us to rightly divide it. So let's go to... So we see from verse 8 that Paul was given a stewardship. Let's read that. Unto me, who am less than and least of all the saints, is this grace given. See, the dispensation of grace, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. So we see from verse 8 that Paul was given a stewardship. That's somebody that's responsible for something. To preach the previous unknown riches of Christ. This was not known. People say, oh, it was hid in the Old Testament. You know, it's types. And no, it wasn't. It was not known. It was in the heart and mind of God. You read commentaries. Because they don't want to realize Paul's a unique apostle. He's apostle to the Gentiles. He's apostle to the body of Christ. And we need to know that. You know how many people are in church today? They're following Peter or James. The Lordship Salvationists, they love going to James. That you ain't really saved unless you got works in your life. And they go to James. Faith without works is dead. Paul says if it's grace, it ain't works. If it's works, it ain't grace. How do you reconcile them two? Because James, writing to the 12 tribes of the dispersion, the Jews, the kingdom saints, Paul's writing to the body of Christ. Now you don't get confused and mix them. Because that's what's... Why are there so many denominations, you think, this morning? They pick and choose what they want to believe. The Baptists, you know, in the four Gospels, there's only one commission, what they call a Great Commission, but it's defined in four different places. But the Baptists want to get the one without the signs and wonders, because they don't believe in that, right? And then the Pentecostals want the one where you can... drink poison, and you know, you can pick up snakes, you can heal the dead, you can cast out demons, right? And then what happens? Pastors sometimes do that, snake handling, like down south in the mountains, and they die or they get sick because they don't rightly divide the word of God. Aren't you glad you know how to? You're learning, or some are learning, they're new to it, some are have been under teaching for a long time, and sometimes. I think people get apathetic. Because you hear it all the time. Well, I pray all the time. I asked somebody I had learned a lot from, what can I pray for you, a Bible teacher? And he said that I don't get apathetic about grace. And I thought, what a great prayer. You know, I thought, Lord, I want to pray that all the time. I want to stay excited about God's grace. I want to stay excited to get into God's word. You know, to have a zeal to stand for it in boldness. You know, not just, I've heard this stuff before. When I was a pastor, that's my jacket I got. They gave it to me when I was a pastor in a city like church in Chicago years ago in my 20s. And I was teaching through the book of Galatians. And one of the ladies said, all he teaches is law and grace, law and grace. Well, that's what the book of Galatians is about, law and grace, right? Correction, correcting legalism, you know. I mean, I taught about other things, but, you know, she was apathetic. Yeah. Anyway, so we see, let's read verse 2 and 3 of Ephesians. If you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given to me, Paul, for you word, the body of Christ, how that by revelation, he's talking about Christ, revealing something, unfolding something to Paul. He made known unto me the mystery. That word in the Greek is mysterion. It's not like a mystery novel. It's something that was not known until God chose to reveal it. And God chose to reveal it through Christ to our Apostle Paul and to us and where? Come on. It's early. I want you thinking. In Paul's epistles, right? I should have said in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and maybe see who's really awake here. So anyway, I'm glad I got Ray here. He's an amener. Yeah, me and him are back there. Amen, bro. Preach it. So in verse 3, he made known unto me the mystery as I wrote afore in a few words. So we see that it was Christ in his heavenly ministry. Not his early ministry, right? What's his heavenly ministry? What's his title? Thank you. Head of the body of Christ, right? Paul says, though we knew Christ according to the flesh, right? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I think verse around 10. He said, though we knew Christ according to the flesh, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, we thus know him no longer. How do we know him? As head of the body, seated at the right hand of the Father, mediating, interceding for us, right? High above all principalities, powers, might. We don't know him as a suffering servant. We know about him, and sometimes I get tears in my eyes when I think what he went through. What he went through even as he was suffering servant, and then he went to that cross. That should move us, because he did it for us. People say, yeah, I believe Christ died for everyone's sins. You believe he died for yours? Have you identified Christ on the cross with your sins? Because the moment you do that, when you identify that he's dying my death and that he was buried and he rose victorious, the Holy Spirit identifies you and places you into his death, his burial and his resurrection. And then what? You're ascended with Christ. You're one with him, right? In his heavenly ministry. And so, we see it was Christ in his heavenly ministry, and that Christ dispensed to Paul the whole body of truth to the body of Christ to make known and the dispensation of the mystery that Paul also calls the dispensation of grace. We go to Paul's epistles. Now, some grace teachers and pastors, they could go, does Paul say just to divide the word? What's the word before it? Rightly divide it. There's a way to do it accurately and divide God's word. Some say you don't even need to read the Bible outside of Paul's epistles. That's wrong. Paul quotes the Old Testament all the time, don't he? All scripture is profitable. But if you want to understand the mystery, you got to go to Paul's epistles. Because Christ revealed it to Paul. So let's go back to verse 9, chapter 3, verse 9. Let's read it. And to make all men see. This was Paul's goal, right? Is Paul our pattern?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Thank you. Somebody's, thanks for listening, bro. Thanks for staying awake. Even Bill's staying awake today. Wow. So Paul's our pattern, right? Well, shouldn't this be our goal? What's God's will? He tells us in Timothy that all be saved. So our goal should be reaching out to the lost, right? It's not just sharing with the saved about the mystery. It's reaching out to the lost that Christ in us, when we have friends and family and we're at work or in our business and we get into people's lives because Christ is in us. He wants to reach the lost people. And then once they're saved, to lovingly, patiently, yet boldly build them up and edify them in sound grace doctrine. Teach them about the mystery. But be patient. You know, sometimes we've been studying for years and it's so clear to us. But then all of a sudden we're trying to share with somebody else and you expect them to understand everything at once. You know, we get impatient. You can't see it, brother. Shake the dust off my feet. No, that's not grace, is it? Be patient. Be loving. Because it took us a while to grasp it. And, you know, we'll be learning it our whole lives. Because God's Word, like my old pastor, I call him the Kirkster, he said God's Word's like a beautiful rose. It just keeps blooming and blooming. Ever since I got that tooth pull. That's great. Never had a tooth pull. So in verse 9, he says, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world has been hid in God who created all things by Jesus Christ. So, do you know this verse is part of our great commission? I would even, theologians, pastors, denominations, you know, the commission, he never said it was the great commission. Do you know that? That Christ gave to his kingdom apostles for the kingdom program, going all the world, baptizing and making disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That was their commission. It was a kingdom. You know, it'd be a good time if we turn our phones off or... No, I like setting an example. There it goes. At the rehab, I got to use a phone. The clock's broke. But you guys got that big old clock. So whoever's preaching or teaching will be sure to get done on time. So this verse, making all see what is the fellowship or the dispensation and mystery, this is part of our great commission. Go to 2 Corinthians 5:16 through 26. And then we're going to come back to Ephesians, so keep your finger there. You know, that commission he gave the 12 kingdom apostles is not our commission. That's the commission that actually he put that on hold, right? When he brought in the dispensation of grace, he put his prophetic clock on hold. He brings in this mystery time that was never revealed, the dispensation of grace, right? But once the rapture happens, the dispensation of grace is over, right? And praise God, we're looking forward to that. And then he'll start his prophetic clock up again with Israel's the trip, right? And that's when that commission and that gospel will be effective then. It's not our gospel for today. Here's what our, if you want to call it great commission or our great grace commission, I put it. 2 Corinthians 5, 16 through 21. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh. Where's that? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, right? In his ministry to Israel, he said, I didn't come to do away with the law, but to fulfill it. That he was only sent to the lost sheep up of the house of Israel. That was his ministry then. His ministry now to us is what? A heavenly ministry, right? Did he teach them to pray? Thy kingdom come. That's what they were looking for. A kingdom from heaven to come to earth. A literal one. We're not looking for a kingdom come. We're looking to go to a heavenly kingdom. And so, verse 16, yet now henceforth know we him no more. We know him as head of the body. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. The law is passed away. Who we were in Adam has passed away. The gospel of the kingdom is temporarily passed away during our dispensation. Behold, all things are become new. You're a new creation, or if you like the King James, new creature in Christ Jesus. And we're not under law, Paul says, Romans 6:14, since you'll not have dominion over you. It won't dominate you. It won't control your life. It won't destroy your life. Why? Because you're not under law, you're under grace. Get yourself under law, what are you going to be under? The dominion of sin. That's why legalism destroys lives. You know how many Christians are just so beat up today under legalism? You know, they're trying to carry the law, and they're like this. It's breaking their back. And grace comes, right? With resurrection life of Christ in us. Hallelujah. And so, he says, we're new creations in Christ. Behold, all things have become new. Now we're under grace, right? We serve God under grace. And all things are of God. Do you thank God for these things? We should be thanking Him daily. Who has reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Every one of you in the body of Christ has a ministry. Amen. It's called the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, talking about on the cross, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses on them. And He has committed to us, what? The word of reconciliation. Christ died for everyone's sins. People go, oh no, because then everybody would be forgiven and they'll go to heaven. Salvation ain't forgiveness. You can't have salvation without forgiveness. But forgiveness cleared the decks for the divine imputation of divine life. Because they say, what's he say later? Be reconciled to God, right? How do sinners, are they reconciled to God? Believing what this says, that God was in Christ. Let's keep reading it. This is the message. I hope you know it. And you know what's wrapped up in here? 1 Corinthians 15, 1-4, Ephesians 2, 8, 9, Romans 5, 10. I ain't got time to go to all the verses, but to wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself. So God has put the world, and that's not talking about the earth, everybody in the world, the lost world, in a position where they can bleed the gospel and God will declare them righteous unto eternal life. He gives them spiritual life. So everybody don't believe that false teaching that You know, the extreme, some extreme Acts 28ers, that everybody's going to heaven? No, they ain't. Read Revelation 20, 19 or 19. You know, the only ones that will be in heaven, and you're guaranteed heaven, are the ones who believe the gospel. Not because you were so good, you weren't. When we were in the flesh, in the uncircumcision of our sinful nature, right? We were rebels against God, enemies in our minds, and God saved you. Then He saved me. And that should motivate us for service in view of God's mercies, His loving kindnesses. You think about His grace, how undeserved. He should have struck you dead. He should have struck me dead because the wages of sin is death. Right? Aren't you glad it didn't stop there, the other half of the verse? But the gift to God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's all in Christ. Everything we have, every spiritual blessing, life in Christ, even for God to use us in service, it's because being in Christ and what He did, the finished work of Christ, because of the finished work of the cross, because if God didn't take care of every sin that we'd ever do, what happened to Adam when he sinned? He died, right? Spiritually, the Spirit of God left him. What would happen, because the wages of sin is death, if God didn't take care of every sin, even our future sins, He's not limiting it by time. He took all of our sins and put them on Christ. If not, then as soon as you did one sin, you might think wrong. Like prideful, like the Pharisees. Oh, I'm a rightly dividing mid-ex polling dispensationalist, looking down on others. A dispensational Gnostic. A dispensational Pharisee, I like to call him. All puffed up, but nothing here. Grace is supposed to get, yes, in our minds. We're supposed to infiltrate it with Paul's gospel and sound doctrine, but let it get into our wills and into our feet and into our hands and into our mouth, right? Be available to God. Let Him use you. Redeem the time, Paul tells us. The days are evil, right? Dave. He's got the beard kind of like Dave. But he sends out texts that are very good. You know, he'll sort of mention some things going on, but then he says, let's not focus on that. Redeem the time. That's pretty much most of your texts are about. I mean, there's a whole lot of topics. I appreciate them. I like the amen, or straight up, word up, brother. Because I don't like just sound like somebody else. Amen. That word. Anyway. Verse 19, to wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and He has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then we, you, me, every member of the body of Christ, are ambassadors for Christ. We're citizens of heaven on loan to planet Earth. We're here for one reason. That's for Christ to express Himself out of us, to win the lost, and to edify the saved. Amen. Not to change the government, and, you know, I'm not going to get into all that, but we're not just here for the Bears to win the Super Bowl. Maybe a little bit for the Packers to lose it, but they're going to love me in Wisconsin, aren't they? The Bears fan. So he says in verse 20, now then we, as ambassadors for Christ, we're representing Christ. It says as though God were speaking right through us, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead. We're representing Christ. We're ambassadors, right? Be reconciled to God. Well, I thought God reconciled the world to Himself. He put Him in a position. For He made Him, Christ, to be sin for us. He took our place. He took our shame. He took our punishment. You don't have to live in shame. You don't have to live in thinking God can't use me. He's disgusted with me. God wants you to be rejoicing. Rejoice in the Lord always. Hallelujah. I like rejoicing. I don't like getting down. And you know how you rejoice? Thinking all in spiritual blessings in Christ. Realizing God's working all things for our good. Yeah, even the things we don't understand. I don't understand why God hasn't provided an apartment. I think, I didn't have no desire really to want to go pastor a church. Especially a little church in, you know, colder than Chicago. I wanted to go to Tennessee, right? But, you know, I think they asked me more than once, and I had been praying for them for a pastor. And I said, Lord, I don't think it's me, but if you wanted me to. So if it's God's will, he'll provide that. But sometimes, you know, God always answers our prayers, don't he? He says, yes. Sometime he'll do something right away. He says, wait. That's what I'm doing. Because he wants to see if you're going to trust him. In the midst of your needs, God says he's faithful, right? He'll provide for your needs in Christ Jesus, right? And so sometime he comes through at the last minute. It's almost, I think, like a sense of humor, maybe, like, you know, with us. So that's what I'm doing. I'm saying, Lord, just give me patience. If it's your will, that's you'll provide it. If not, then hey, I'll stay here. Yeah. Keep an eye on Bill. Anyway, he says, he made him, verse 21, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. You're the righteous, if you've trusted in Christ. If someone out there, someone in here, everybody in church ain't saved. God got no grandkids, and I say that all the time. I tell my stepsons, you better make sure you trusted in Christ. I've been telling them for years. Your mom has, I have, but you got to make that decision. You got to let your kids know that. Because if we're not in Christ, we're in Adam, and those in the flesh cannot please God. All our righteousness, our human pseudo self-imagined righteousness is as filthy, dirty, rotten rags to God. You know, the Pharisees come to God, oh, I do this, I do that. Said he was praying to himself. God wasn't listening. God was busy throwing up. It makes him sick when sinners lost in Adam, they don't realize it. They have the blackness, the stain of sin all over them. And they try and approach God. Look at me. Aren't I wonderful? No, you're a dirty, rotten sinner. There's no reason I should love you. But I demonstrated my love in this. While you were still a sinner, right where you're at, the filthiest sinner in the world. Paul said he was the worst sinner. And he realized something. Paul wasn't real immoral, was he? He said, according to the outward observance of the law, he was blameless. But he realized something. His own righteousness, he couldn't approach God. He said, I had to throw it away. It became rubbish to him. Everything he could do, and his own resources, his own strength, trying to clean himself up for God. It's like standing before God in a dirty, stinking garbage bag with rotten food in it, saying, don't I smell good and don't I look good because you got your hair done. No. It's in that condition. You think about it. See, that's the problem why moral people, it's hard to reach. Because they think they're good, and they've been told by their mother and fathers, you're a good boy, you're a good girl. And as they got older, people tell them you're good. You're a good father, you're a good mother. And they think they're good people, and what's the world tell you? Well, you got to love yourself. You know, have a high self-esteem. No, man, you don't need a high self-esteem, low self-esteem. You need a proper self-esteem. And you judge, are you in Adam? Paul said, test yourselves. Have you believed the gospel at some time? Trusting in it. Not just, yeah, I believe it happened. Knowing the facts. But by a decision of your will, did you trust? Because that moment, God made you the right, if you've trusted, the righteousness of God in Christ. When you mess up, and we do, we come up short every day in different ways, you got to know this. That's that helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness. When Satan tempts you, and then through your flesh, because the devil don't make us do it, like Flip Wilson used to say, he can't make us do anything, he can deceive us. And then when he tempts you and your flesh responds and you fall flat on your face, then he goes, look at you. You ain't no Christian. Or what kind of Christian are you? God can't use you. You say, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. God can use me. And forget the past and press forward. It's not pick yourself up by your bootstrings. You know what it is? It's reckoning yourself dead to sin and alive to God, presenting yourself to God. It's okay to say, God, I was thinking and walking inconsistent with my identity. But remind me who I am, because then I'll walk in the Spirit and I won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. And so, what will understanding Paul's unique gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation and mystery, what will it do in our spiritual lives? See if you really understand it. That's why, do you, before you study God's word, well, first let me ask, do you study God's word?
I do.
I'm talking about on a regular basis. I ain't talking about 6 months ago. Because if not, you're not going to have, it said the word of God that worketh in you. It gives you spiritual energy. It makes you hungry for more. It makes you hungry to know God and have this intimate relationship with Him and Christ and the Holy Spirit. So we got to get the word into us, right? And then, before you study God's word, do you pray? Take the time, even when you're in a hurry, because sometime, you know, in the past, you know, you're in a hurry and say, well, I want to get in the Word. I know it's important. So I just start reading fast and you're not even studying. But at least you're getting something inside you. You know, it's like that's what reading the Word is. But when you study, you pray for illumination, for understanding the Holy Spirit. So you'll not know just what it says, you'll know what it means. And when you know what it means, it will become meaningful to you. It will become personal to you. And that's when the Word of God that's spiritually energizing you and strengthening your inner man, that new creation, who you are in Christ, and making you just want to grow in grace, grow in intimacy with God, and serve our Almighty God and our loving Heavenly Father. That's grace. It's not the law breaking your back. It's, I want to. Grace releases you to serve and empowers you to serve, because that's how the Holy Spirit works today. So what will understanding Paul's unique gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the... See, I'm watching the clock and I start going fast. Slow down. An understanding the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, what will it do in our lives? Let's compare Scripture with Scripture and let's see. Go to Romans 16:25. So back up. Here's the reason so many believers live in defeat. Because they're not under sound grace teaching. I told Jake and Chris, and I hope y'all, I think Jake's number and Chris's number might be in the thing. When we go, if they ain't come to this church, I told him he can choose, there's grace gospel there, because Jake is a little bit of a cheapskate sometimes. About mileage on his car, he got a new car and the gas. But hopefully he'll come here, because you are a spiritual family. Our spiritual family, and they know you, and yous will look out for them. I know. And so, if he ain't coming, make sure give him a call. I'll be calling them. And Chris, I told Chris, if Jacob don't come, you keep coming. You know, be the leader. He's the older brother. So, Romans 16:25. Now to him, that's God, that is of power. Look at that word. God is able of power. It's like dunamis. I'm not sure if that's the exact word for it. But dunamis is dynamite, where we get the word dynamite from. So now to him that is of power to establish you. Now my New King James says establish you. So what does establish mean? Or establish. It means to stabilize. It's where we get the word stereo from. Remember when stereo sound came out? It was balanced. So it gives you a balanced out, spiritual, steadfast, solid, firm, unmovable spiritual walk and condition. Now what does that? Keep reading. According to my gospel, Paul's good news. Paul's gospel is part of that whole body of truth called the mystery. And the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation and mystery which was kept secret since the world began. So this is the Paul's gospel that Christ gave him, by the way. And Christ, even in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, he told his disciples that they don't receive you or whom I send, they're rejecting the Father. Paul is the apostle today. You know, most of the church is rejecting being disobedient to Christ. They don't see Paul's unique. They think he's just one more of the apostles. And so it's his gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation and mystery that establishes our lives. So when we truly grasp these precious truths our Apostle Paul shares with us in his epistles, our hearts and lives, if we truly understand it, that's why you pray for illumination, our hearts and lives will truly be transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. I got 5 minutes. What I want to say first is, so I can get this in, we're going to look at the power and reality of Christ's resurrection that Christ unfolded to Paul. But I want to say there's men and women, I'm thinking of Bob George, Hudson Taylor, different people, they didn't have a mid-Acts understanding, you know, and see Paul's unique apostleship. But they had learned, that's kind of a secret in Christendom, in a way. It's not a secret, it's in Paul's epistles and all through God's word, actually, about the power of God. And now in Paul's epistle about Christ. So there's been men and women who have come to understand the reality and the power of the resurrection and learned to appropriate that by faith, who didn't understand the importance of rightly dividing God's word and Paul's unique apostleship and the message that Christ chose to dispense uniquely to him. Yet they unknowingly learned it in Paul's epistles. So don't think just because you have a good understanding of rightly dividing God's word, if you don't appropriate it by faith, you ain't busting a grape. You ain't tearing toilet paper. Because you got it up here. But you don't really. What do I always say? You haven't truly understand God's grace till grace has grasped our hearts. So let's look real quick. Now I'm down to 4 minutes. Go to Ephesians 3:20. So I won't be able to, you might write these down and then meditate on them later, study them out. 3:20. Now unto him, God, that is able to do exceedingly, look at these words Paul uses, exceedingly, abundantly, above all we ask or think, according to what? The power that works in us. What's that power? Christ's resurrection life in us. Christ in us. I can do all things through Christ. Right? He's in you. He wants to live out of you. You talk about significance. Christ, we're temples of God's Holy Spirit. Christ wants to express Himself out of you. That makes you stand tall. Not prideful. Pride says, I earned it. Dignity says, only because Christ purchased it, now I'm a child of God. I don't got to walk around with my head down. Oh, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. You were a sinner. You were saved by grace. Now you're a saint. Walk like it. Right? Walk in that truth. Rejoice in it. Go to Colossians 1, 10 and 11. A couple books to the right. Well, the pastor ain't here, so I could go over. No, just playing. Phew, rough crowd today. What did I say? Colossians 1, 10, 11. Why does he say to walk worthy? Because we can, right? As we appropriate by faith what Christ, his resurrection life in us, that we might walk worthy of the Lord. What is walking worthy of the Lord? Some would say it's, never letting alcohol touch my lips. Not going with girls who chew tobacco and, the filthy five, the dirty dozen. That's what most think. Right? Let's see what God says is pleasing to Him. I mean, we should walk in a certain way, right? I ain't saying that just go do whatever you want because under grace, live like the devil. No. Live like Christ. Right? That you might walk worthy of the Lord, pleasing. This is pleasing the Lord. What is that? Being fruitful when fruit by the Holy Spirit is produced in our life. Love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, meekness, self-control, right? Faithfulness, all the fruit of the Spirit, that pleases God because we're learning to appropriate by faith what we have in Christ. And every good work, it pleases God when we have a work of faith and a labor of love in our lives. And increasing in the knowledge of God. It pleases God as we're studying God's Word and we're increasing in the knowledge. But did you notice something? That increasing in the knowledge produced something, right? It produced good works in our life, fruit in our lives. But where does it come from? It's not from our determination, our commitment. You know what I'm committed to? Not to depend on myself. Depend on Christ. He said, strengthen. Now look at this. This is the power of the resurrection of Christ in us. Strengthen with all might. Christ has infinite might, doesn't he? All things were created by Him and for Him, right? According to His glorious power. If you look at these last three things, these are fruits of the Spirit. Unto all patience and long-suffering. We'll suffer long. And we can do it and have joy as we go through things. With joyfulness. That's the power of the resurrection. I just have three more verses, so I'll go 2 minutes over. I won't. 2 Timothy 1:7. I just want you to get this. Second Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear. That's an attitude or a mindset. But of power and of love and a sound mind. Where do you get a sound mind from? Sound doctrine. Yeah, studying it. Go to Ephesians 1:19-20. And just one more verse and I'll end it. What is the exceeding greatness of his power? That's resurrection power. Towards us, to usward, who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. What does Philippians 4:13 say? I can do all things through Christ, right? And he who strengthens me. So I'm not going to get to 11, but when we proclaim the manifold wisdom of God that's revealed in the mystery and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to revelation in the mystery, and by faith and dependence on Christ in us to live through us, we make an impact in the heavenly places. Even angels whom we shall one day rule over under Christ in heavenly places, they now learn from us. Angels might be listening this morning and saying, how did God use that little short guy? I know he's from the hood. His speech is contemptible. But this word is powerful. The gospel's powerful, and Christ in you is powerful. You're equipped. So today, remember, when you leave this place, you're entering the mission field. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for demonstrating your love in this. While we were still sinners, Christ Jesus died for us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you laid down your life, shed your blood, took our shame, our pain, our punishment, and you rose victorious, and we know that God is, we're righteous in him because you rose from the dead. And I pray, Father, that we grow more and more in our personal lives and in ministry together in this understanding of the manifold wisdom of yours found in the mystery. In Jesus' name I pray.